Isn't it great to celebrate our resurrected King? Isn't it great to know that He defeated the cross, He defeated the grave on our behalf? Amen. Wow, what a great day it is to be in the church of God, in the house of God. I want to once again welcome you. We're excited about what God's doing. And we're looking forward to responding to what He's saying to us today. Amen. Look to the person next to you and say, you sound good on Easter. You look really good, too, in that pastel, in that salmon color shirt. Now look to the other person and say, you look good, too, all right? As you're finding your seat, go ahead and give someone a high five or some knuckles. That's how we do it here at Key Point Church. Yeah. The title of my message today is Love Knows Your Name. Love Knows Your Name. I remember being in the other side of the house growing up and hearing my dad call my name. I knew I was in trouble if he used my middle name with it. Casey Reed, you better get in here. Now, I remember in high school as well when the principal would come on, or actually his secretary would come on the intercom. She would say,
Miss Smith, could you please send Casey Hennigan to the principal's office?
Crud, I got caught, you know, or something like that. We all fear our name being called, right? We don't want to be called out in front of everybody. Well, what did I do wrong? Did they catch me? And we're going to read a story today and study a story about a man whose name got called out. Now, really, this encounter worked out a lot better for Zacchaeus than what he anticipated. And I believe Jesus is going to call your name out today. And here's the difference. When Jesus calls your name out, anything can happen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your grace that you extended to us. While we were sinners, you died for us. You are the epitome of love. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you know my name. You know all about me, my desires, my pains, my failures. Lord, and you still love me. And Lord, we're so grateful for that. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and celebrate the resurrected King today on Easter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, won't you turn with me in your app, your Key Point Church app, or in your Bible to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to study a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a rich Jewish man. And in the town of Jericho, he had a lot of authority. He had a lot of clout. And he was hated by the Jews. He was hated by his fellow friends because he was Jewish. And the reason why he was hated was because he was a traitor. He was the chief tax collector. So what he would do, he would go and collect taxes from his countrymen, and then turn those taxes over to the Romans, who were the enemies of the Jews. And they took that money to turn around and oppress the Jews. No wonder they considered him a traitor. And not only that, but he stole money because he would overcharge his boys, his girls. He would overcharge them, padding his own pocket. This is the definition of the dirty crook. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus was. And the story tells us that Jesus, in verse 1, entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Something on the inside of him was causing him to be drawn to Jesus. Here's a very wealthy man who's at the top of society. He has the job of all jobs. He's extremely wealthy, and something on the inside of him is curious. And notice what happens in verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So Zacchaeus climbs a tree. Now stop and think. When was the last time you've seen an extremely wealthy man climb a tree? That's just something they don't do. All right? They either get their assistant to climb the tree or their friend to climb the tree, but they're not doing it. I mean, it was just kind of above their head. But there was a curiosity inside of Zacchaeus that wanted to get a bird's eye view of Jesus. He was drawn to Jesus. In fact, Jesus said these words earlier in his ministry in John chapter 6. He said, "No one can come to the Father unless the Son draws him." Unless the Lord draws him. And what Zacchaeus was experiencing, this tug on the inside, was the grace of God drawing him to his son, Jesus, all right? Drawing him to Jesus. He was interested in Jesus, but yet not really sure if he wanted a real encounter with Jesus. Perhaps he thought, maybe Jesus is who he says he is. Maybe Zacchaeus knew the prophetic promises from Isaiah in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Maybe somewhere in the back of Zacchaeus' mind, he's thinking, maybe he is a healer. Maybe he is the Savior. Maybe he can come and touch this wicked and cold and filthy heart. Oh, but probably not. Why would Jesus go out of his way to come and find me? I am the chief of sinners. And there's this struggle here. And a lot of people think like Zacchaeus. Maybe that's how you think. It's kind of drawn to Jesus, but I'd rather just have a bird's eye view. I'm going to keep a little distance in between me and Jesus, just enough to get close, but not that close. I mean, I don't need any more condemnation. I don't need any more guilt. And maybe in Zacchaeus' mind, he's thinking, because all the other Jews hate him, maybe he's thinking, well, Jesus hates me too. All he's going to do is condemn me. And we know that Jesus did not hate Zacchaeus. We know that. A lot of us think like that. Have I crossed Jesus one too many times? Does my sin and my filth outweigh his grace? And I think that's a fair assumption. Because we're sinful and he's perfect. We're human. And he's God. And naturally, we would want there to be a distance in between us and Jesus, the King of Kings. Perhaps some of you came today and you just wanted a glimpse. Well, let me say something before we move on. There's more to Jesus than you could ever imagine. Amen. There's more to Jesus. Hashtag Jesus Eats with Notorious Sinners is going viral. Hashtag Jesus Heals the Sick is going viral. And there's this curiosity inside of a very sick man, Zacchaeus, who's thinking, maybe, just maybe, I could find some of this healing. And in verse 5, here's where the story gets powerful. When Jesus reached the spot. Sounds official, don't it? The spot. When Jesus reached the spot. The spot, it just jumps off the page to me. The spot. X marks the spot. Come on, someone in here, tell me that you grew up in the 80s like me. I went to high school in the 80s. Come on. 1988, forever great. That was the year I graduated. Come on, somebody. Come on, raise your hand. I know I got some more 80s. Yeah. I mean, this was the generation. There's no other generation as good as the 80s, all right? Michael Jackson. Come on now. Parachute pants in the seventh grade? Yeah. Man, I had my first pair of parachute pants. They were white and tight. Wish I had them today. I'd be wearing them. They'd probably be a little bit more tighter, and I would love to, you know, I'm not going to cause some mental damage to you, but man, it'd be awesome to have them. But the best movie filmed and released in the 80s came out in 1985. Anyone want to guess what it is? The Goonies. Not Top Gun. Come on. The Goonies, Mouth and Sloth and Mikey. Good stuff, man. Chunk, of course, Chunk, yeah. Their whole mission, after they found this map, was to find the spot where One Eye Willie left the treasure. And Jesus goes through Jericho, and it wasn't by chance. It wasn't just kind of, I'm just roll through Jericho today. To see what's up with my boys. No. He was on mission. Perhaps that morning he was in prayer and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, Jesus, a little later on today, as you are going through Jericho, you're going to come up to a tree. It's a sycamore tree. And in that tree, there's going to be a very wealthy man. X marks the spot. When Jesus reached the spot, I bet he heard the Holy Spirit say, "You have now arrived at your destination. Look up." I have my Siri and Australian accent. I like it. But check this out. The man who climbed the tree to see Jesus is now being seen by Jesus himself. Get the moment here. He looks up and he sees through the crime. He sees through the hate. He sees through the filth. He sees through the pain and rejection and guilt right to Zacchaeus' heart. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he wanted all those who were looking, all those who were watching, and Zacchaeus to know, the notorious sinner. He wanted Zacchaeus to know that you belong. And that same truth can applies to you today. You belong. Say that to yourself in your mind. I belong. I belong. See, when Jesus calls his name, he didn't condemn him. He didn't point his finger. He didn't give him a list of things to do to get right with him. No, it wasn't anything like that. He didn't call him down to go to the principal's office because he was in trouble. No, he said, "Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. I must go to your house today." This was a term of salvation. This was a massive invitation. Jesus was saying, "Zacchaeus, I must reach you. I'm here to reach you. I'm on purpose. I'm on mission. And I've reached the spot. And Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house today." Now, you can imagine all the voices, all the critics, all those in attendance, you know, laughing. "Zacchaeus? Jesus wants to go hang out with Zacchaeus? No, he doesn't belong, Jesus. Not Zacchaeus. If you only know the dirt on Zacchaeus, he's filthy. He's robbed me of money years after years. No, not Zacchaeus." But yet Jesus stops him and says, "Oh yeah, Zacchaeus belongs." And I bet rolling through Zacchaeus' mind, he's thinking, "Me? I don't belong. Me? You got the wrong guy in the wrong tree. It's the wrong spot, Jesus." And Jesus says, No. I'm right where I need to be. You belong. You belong. You know you actually belong before you even believe. See, religion says you got to do this to get Jesus, or you got to go this way, not do that, act like this to get this. But that's not Jesus. Jesus didn't say, "Zacchaeus, come down the tree, you get your life right, you go and tell everybody you're sorry, then you can come follow me." There was no conditions based upon receiving the love of Jesus that day. He said, "You belong before you believe. I want you just the way you are." Then you start believing, then he comes and cleans you up. You belong. He's just waiting on you. And he's not going to force his way in. You have to open the door. You have to yield your life. Now, the language that Jesus uses here is extremely important. The scripture we just read in verse 6, he says, "I want you to immediately come down." Come down right now. He doesn't say tomorrow or later on when you're feeling good about it. When the crowd dies down, he says, "Right now, today, the time is now, Zacchaeus, don't delay." Here at Key Point Church, we provide an opportunity at every service for people to respond to what Jesus is saying to them. And today, we're going to give you that moment in a few minutes to respond. And I would encourage you not to delay. Jesus is standing at the base of your tree, and he's calling your name. And the trade-off is amazing. Verse 6, I love this. "So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly." Here's a man who's wealthy, who in the world's eyes has everything that you could possibly have to have joy and happiness. And he comes down at once and welcomes him gladly. I think in his mind and in his heart, He probably just kind of, now I can really start living. I believe he began to experience life in Jesus. Verse 7, it says, and all the people saw this, and they began to mutter. When's the last time you said that word, mutter? There's mutter. Don't be muttering up in here. See, this is a negative word. It was a protest as to what Jesus was offering this very sinful person, muttering and grumbling about it. And this is what they grumbled. This is their protest. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. That's right. He was. It wasn't his first time. Because that's what Jesus does. That was his mission. And that day, Zacchaeus, not only did he learn that he belonged, but he received forgiveness. He was forgiven. And you can be forgiven as well. You can be forgiven today, right now. You can. And the significance of this encounter with Zacchaeus, it gets even better because his name, Zacchaeus, listen to the irony of this. The name Zacchaeus means pure and innocent. Here's a man who's filthy, he's crooked, he's a blood-sucking vampire, and his name actually means pure and innocent. And Zacchaeus responds instantly. He climbs down out of the tree because for the first time, he hears who he really was created to be. Life-changing moment here whenever you begin to hear what the Lord says about you and not everybody else. He began to call out to Zacchaeus. When he said Zacchaeus, he heard for the first time, pure, innocent. And Jesus calls out his name as a declaration as to why he came to this earth. To forgive sinners, of which we are all sinners. Romans 3 confirms it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, of course, today's Easter and we're celebrating everything that Easter means. The cross and the grave and the resurrection and so forth. I want you to think about the cross, the agony of the cross and what Jesus went through for us on the cross. The nails and the stripes on his back and the humiliation. God did not send Jesus to suffer the cross and suffer the grave so that you and I could be partially forgiven. You understand that, right? Jesus came to this earth and suffered the cross so that when you and I ask for forgiveness, we can be completely forgiven. Not partially forgiven, and then he waits to see if we're good enough later on down in life to get the rest, but no, it's complete forgiveness, amen? This forgiveness thing is much better than we could ever imagine. Psalms 103 describes forgiveness this way. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed my sin from me. You want to know how far that is? That's real far. That is very far. I love how Hebrews 8 says forgiveness. It says God will forgive our sin and remember them no more. It's not that he forgot them because God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. Check this out. Is that when I ask for forgiveness and God forgives me, he willfully chooses to forget them no more. Let's say I'm on court one day and an angel comes before God and says, hey, God, tell me some junk on PC. Tell me some junk on PC. And God says, you know, I don't know. No, come on, you surely you know. I mean, come on, tell me some junk on PC. No, I don't know, because I chose not to remember his sins no more. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful to forgive. Faithful to forgive, not condemn, not point the finger. Not marginalized. He's faithful to forgive. But it takes me confessing. It takes me admitting. It takes me yielding like Zacchaeus did coming out of that tree. That's the nature of Jesus. That's the nature of the God we serve. He doesn't care who you are because you belong, because he knows who you can be once you're forgiven. He knows who you will be when his life is truly in you. You belong. You can be forgiven. And Zacchaeus responds to Jesus. He receives forgiveness. He's no longer filthy, no longer dirty. Right then, Jesus put inside of him a healthy and a pure and an innocent heart. I think this is something Zacchaeus longed for that his money could not buy. And notice, he didn't have to pay anything for it. Jesus didn't pull out his iPhone with his little Q reader on the end, say, all right, Zacchaeus, what is it, debit or credit? I'll take cash. I'll take some denarii. Yep, right here. Not one penny was exchanged. Grace, salvation, forgiveness, mercy was offered to Zacchaeus before he even came out of the tree. It wasn't his ingenuity, his high professional skills. It wasn't his own initiative. It was all God's initiative. The offer was there, and he responded. He responded. He responded. And when he responded, God gave him a new start. God gave him a fresh start. And you can have one as well. You can have a fresh start today. It was as if Jesus had an etch-a-sketch of all the sins of Zacchaeus printed out right there. And he just took that big old etch-a-sketch and just shook it up. Clean. It's like fresh start. The Apostle Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. It's gone. And a new life has begun. A new life has begun. I believe the Holy Spirit is offering some of you in here today a fresh start to belong, to be forgiven. Have the Holy Spirit shake that etch-a-sketch of your life and just remember your sins no more. And here's how the story concludes. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, in his business voice, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions. It's a lot of money here. I'm going to get half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated, I guarantee you, all those in attendance had been cheated by him. Their ears perked up. What did he say? What? And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. I bet hands went up everywhere. All right, pay back, buddy. I take debit or credit too. The result of a truly changed heart is someone with their hands open and they become extremely generous. Moments before that, Zacchaeus' heart was cold. It was bitter. It was filled with hatred. All he wanted to do was to be cruel to people and take, take, and take. Now Jesus enters into his life. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will just open you up. Now you just become generous. It's a result of a changed heart. This is what Jesus said in verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house. And salvation in your house today. In your home, in your life. He said in verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I think he threw that in for all those who were there who were muttering. Zacchaeus walked away from this encounter changed. He was a changed man. And if God can change Zacchaeus, I think he can change you too. I believe he can. And he didn't change because he had to. He changed because he wanted to. He wanted to. And I believe Jesus is standing next to your tree today. And you have an opportunity, a moment, to receive salvation, to receive forgiveness, to belong, to get you a fresh start. Jesus' love is calling your name. Will you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, we're going to worship God again. But I believe this is a holy moment. This is decision time right here. Here is the time for us to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I'm going to lead us in a salvation prayer. No one looking around with your head bowed and your eyes closed. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. Maybe you're in here today and you'll say, Pastor Casey, I need to respond to salvation. I need to be forgiven. I feel like Zacchaeus. I don't want distance between me and God. Why would you go any further not knowing? Why would you wait any longer? Don't delay. Let's say this prayer together. I'm going to say a very simple salvation prayer, and I want you to repeat it after me, and I want you to mean it with all your heart. Say, Jesus Christ. Come on, say, Jesus Christ, thank you for saving me, offering me forgiveness, allowing me to belong. Thank you for forgiving me, complete forgiveness. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. See, I believe some of you in here prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time in your entire life. You responded to salvation. Maybe years ago you did, but for whatever reason, worries and life and sin got in between you and God, and you prayed that prayer, and you feel like God's doing something on the inside. Here's what I want to do. I want to take it to the next level. I'm not going to make you get up, but I want to see your hands. We want to take it a step further. No one's looking around. It's between you and Jesus. If you prayed that prayer of salvation, I want to invite you right now to take the next step and say, that was me. So around the room, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I prayed that prayer. That was my response, and I meant it. God's doing something. He's working in me, and I'm excited about it. At once, he responded. Come on, respond right now. Raise your hand. Yeah, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Keep it up for a little bit. Thank you. Well, all across the room, thank you. Thank you. Come on, raise your hand. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by, sir. Come on, keep your hands up. Anyone else, raise your hand, sir, ma'am, young person. There's children in here. I prayed that prayer, Pastor Casey, and I meant it. Come on, raise your hand. 10 more seconds before we move on. We're going to wait right here because I believe some of you need to make this decision. Don't let Jesus pass you by. He's here on purpose, and he's standing at your tree, and he's calling out to you. You've got to yield to him. I prayed that prayer, and I'm taking the next step. Come on, raise your hand. Anybody else? Come on. If you're here with a friend, I ask you, maybe grab their hand and say, raise your hand with me. Come on. Help me. Come on. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Wow, thank you so much. Now you can put your hands down. Keep your heads bowed. You know, in a moment when we dismiss, we're going to have some pastors in the back, some leaders, and they're going to give you a book. If you raise your hand, I want you to take one more step for me and go and say, I gave my life to Jesus. And we've got a book for you. It's called Fresh Starts. It's free. It's an amazing book on where you go from here for salvation. We want you to take it today. You can go and find them in a moment. That's just for you, okay? That's just for you. If you raise your hand, I would encourage you in a moment to fill out that conversation card. Also, let us know what took place. I gave my heart to Jesus. Salvation has come into my life, and I want to know the next steps. I would encourage you today to continue with this process, amen, and let Jesus be the King and the Lord of your life. Amen.